to you by Penguin.
Great Britain, How We Get Our Future Back. Written and read by me, Torsten Bell. Chapter 1. Stagnation Nation. Names aren't just convenient labels for people, places and things. They come with expectations. You learn this if you're a Torsten who doesn't speak a word of Swedish and who regularly disappoints every Scandinavian he meets. Only the brave call their child Adonis. Countries don't normally have these pressures, but Great Britain? It's quite a name to live up to. The Romans called us Britannia, and great originally just meant that we were the biggest island in the northwest European archipelago, or bigger than Lesser Britain, Brittany. The much later union of England and Scotland in 1707 brought the great into our political label, creating the Kingdom of Great Britain. The additional challenge of living up to being a united kingdom followed the union with Ireland, a century later, posing deep constitutional questions that continue to this day. Today, few people in the UK, or anywhere else, have any idea that the Great in Great Britain referred originally to the size of the country's main island. What began as a statement about our geography has become one about our quality, our significance rather than our landmass. The British government has embraced this reality in its marketing, spending millions on the Great campaign to persuade people at airports, embassies, and even the 2022 World Cup that this is a country that delivers on its billing. The British Empire and two world wars underpinned the domestic perception of greatness throughout the 19th century and most of the 20th. All were long gone by the time I was coming of age in the 1990s. But I don't think I had much doubt that Britain was still great. We had Britpop, and we had growth rates that were the envy of most of the advanced world. Britannia no longer ruled the waves, but it was cool and booming. Living up to our national label feels harder today. Britain is a great country, but things have not been going great. And we know it. The polling company Ipsos conducted a survey for this book, and found that three-quarters of us take that view. This isn't principally about our culture nor our weather, but our economy. It's about wages that stubbornly refuse to grow and food bank queues that too often do. About opportunities for the young and standards of care for the old which repeatedly fall short. About too many places being excluded from the shared national project and too few workers treated with dignity and respect. And about more than 15 long years of economic stagnation that have not only held back our living standards, but also undermined our hope that tomorrow will be better than today. Our nation's name is not about to change, but we must do more to measure up to it. This book is grounded in years of research about the state of Great Britain, more fully the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. I use Britain and the UK interchangeably throughout this book to mean the same thing. The shortened title is clearly not perfect, but we all use it every day, so I hope you'll allow it here. If you share the widespread sense that the country is drifting or declining and want to know why that is and how we can set ourselves on a different course, listen on. In this book, you will find discussions of economic practice, not economic theory. A deep dive into the experience of a particular country, not another high-level sweep across all advanced economies. And a plausible project of national renewal for this time and this place. Britain today contains the raw materials to build a better Britain tomorrow. Forget the nostalgia, put aside the dreams of abstract utopias and visions of a Singapore on Thames or an Anglophone Germany. It is through the hard yards of understanding our country that we can change our country. That is how we give Britain its future back. I should spell out why I have come to write this book. People, like countries, are path-dependent. We might prefer to think we're entirely objective, and this is a book in which you will find no shortage of facts. But we are shaped by our experiences. So, in the interests of transparency, here are mine. No one would have written a book like this in the mid-2000s, which is when I started my working life, walking into the Treasury one autumn day. What worried me back then wasn't just that my new manager didn't turn...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?